Man, so I'm going to preach a sermon tonight titled Early Risers, Early Risers. And it's, as the title would indicate, it's about getting up early in the morning. And you know, this is something you probably heard that the world has a philosophy about. And you might even heard other preachers talk about this. I know I have. And it did surprise me when I actually studied this out and started to look at how often the Bible actually addresses this subject and tells us about people who woke up early in the morning. And you'll see this throughout Scripture that some of the greatest leaders that we see in Scripture are men that rose up early in the morning. And we're gonna come back to where you are there, but we're gonna start actually tonight. So keep something there, but go back to Genesis chapter 21. The first person we're gonna look at is Abraham. He was one of the first guys that we see in Scripture where the Bible talks about how early he got up in the morning. So I believe it's an important subject, mainly because of the fact that, you know, we're coming into the new year. People are making a lot of resolutions, hopefully they are, you know, not just about the things that they're not going to do anymore, but also, just as importantly, about the things they're going to start doing this year. And one of the things that most people resolve to do this time of year, if you're a Christian, if you go to church, if you love the Lord, is people start to make resolutions about their Bible reading. They're either going to continue with their reading in some fashion. If they haven't been reading, they're going to start. They're going to improve on their reading. And I believe that, you know, getting up early is something that's going to help you in that area. Or maybe you have some other goal that you might involve your health or something like that. You know, getting up early in the morning is going to help you achieve some of these goals. You know, if you get into the whole, you know, productivity genre of self-help books and YouTube videos and things like that, you know, that talks a lot about this. A lot of people who are productivity oriented, they always mention the fact that, you know, getting up early is something that's very important. You can get a lot done early in the morning. And, you know, it's no coincidence that you see this in the Scripture as well. That throughout the Scripture, you see that some of God's most powerful leaders, some of the greatest leaders, are men that rose up early in the morning. So I want to preach early risers tonight. And I believe that this, again, is important because this is one resolution that's going to help you accomplish other ones. And the first example we're going to look at is Abraham. It says in Genesis 19, year in 21, that Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. Okay, he got up early in the morning, but he didn't just get up, you know, and rub his eyes and take in, you know, the news media and make himself a cup of coffee and stumble around for an hour and a half groggily, trying to get, you know, get the melatonin out of his system. You know, he got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. You know, that's something that, you know, you have to have a purpose behind getting up. There has to be something driving you to get you up in the morning. You know, if you're just getting up early in the morning in and of itself is not going to be enough motivation for people. Because, you know, the pillow's warm and soft and the bed is very inviting, especially when it's early in the morning. You have to have a purpose. And Abraham here, he had a very good purpose, didn't he? He got up early to get to the place where he stood before the Lord. You know, that's something we can apply to our own selves. You know, why should I get up early? Well, you should get up early to get alone with the Lord, get alone with God. You know, parents can appreciate this a lot, especially parents of young children. You know, I know in my house, and this is no fault to children, this is just life, you know, I'm glad that they're this way, but they wake up a little bit on the early side. You know, we put them to bed early. You know, that's part of the equation here. We'll get to that. I'm getting ahead of myself. But they go to bed early, so as a result, they get up early, you know, and they've got things that they got to do. But look, if we haven't gotten the Bible, if we hadn't had our quiet time with the Lord by 7, 8 a.m., you're not getting it. You're not going to get it again until later in the evening. And by then, you're probably too tired to, you want to go to bed, right? So this is something that will help parents, too. If you get up early and you want to have some time to stand in the place before the Lord, you know, that's a good time to do it if you have kids. It's early in the morning. Before everybody else gets up, and everybody else has their needs, everybody else has to have breakfast made and take their baths and get their schooling going and get dressed and all the things that come with, you know, being a parent, you know, or if you're not a parent or if you're somebody who works outside the home, before you have to go out and get busy in the day, you know, you should be getting up early to get with the Lord, you know, because a lot of times if you don't do that, take care of that first thing in the morning, it just goes by the wayside and it doesn't get done. They say, oh, I'll take care of it when I get home. You know, but by the time you get home, after a long day's work, and there's still things that need to get done, you know, a lot of times it just goes undone. That time with the Lord never happens. So Abraham, he got up early, but he didn't just get up early without a purpose. He got up early to do what? To get with God, okay? Now, he also got up to do something hard. And I'm going to kind of take a little bit of liberty here with this, so just go with me. I'm making application, all right? But if you remember in Genesis 21, that's where Sarah sees Hagar mocking, Isaac, Sarah's son, right? And she wants to kick out Hagar, right, with Ishmael, right? And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight, is what it says in verse 11. He sees this taking place, and he sees that. Well, we'll just read it there in verse 10. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. So Sarah sees Hagar mocking, and she says, you know what, Abraham? Kick him out. Get him out of here. You know, we've got our son now. We don't need them around. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. And God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad, because of the bondwoman. And all that Sarah said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And also of thy son of the bondwoman would I make a nation, because he is thy seed. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and took bread and a bottle of water, and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder and with the child, and sent her away, and she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. So Abraham got up early in the morning, and what did he do? He did something hard, right? Look, he had said it was very grievous unto him. This isn't something that he wanted to do. Yet he got up early to do something he didn't want to do. And obviously there's a lot more to the story. I'm kind of using this as a springboard to make the application that, you know, if you want to be productive throughout your day, get up early in the morning, do something you don't want to do. Aren't you glad you came to church tonight? I'm getting up and telling you, hey, not only should you get up early, you should also get up and do something you don't want to do. You know, I heard somebody say that recently within the last year or so, and I said, you know what, that's a good advice. And I started doing that. I'd get up, now it wasn't first thing in the morning, I didn't like, you know, wake up first thing in the morning and, you know, run up and down the street or something. But it's like, you know, in my morning routine, I worked in something hard that I didn't want to do. Okay, it was exercise, right? But man, as soon as I got in the habit of doing that, I felt so much better throughout the day. You know, and I would encourage you to do something similar. You know, as people are hopefully thinking about their routines and the things that they do and in light of the new year, you know, you should work that in there. Do something hard. Now, look, the Bible reading might cover that for you. You might say, I'm not excited about reading the Bible. It's not something I want to do, you know. Well, the more you read it, the more you'll want to read it. I can tell you that much. But if that's hard enough for you, great. But, you know, maybe you should add that in there. Get up early in the morning and get something done. Go to Genesis 22. Excuse me. Get up early in the morning and do something hard. Get up early to get some work done. Get some work done. You know, this is something that will profit you in life. And this is something that even the world understands. We'll see that in a minute. That there's profit to getting up early to get something done. It says in Genesis 22, verse 3, and Abraham rose up early in the morning. Do you see it again? Oh, he's talking about something that a man of God did. And he's giving us a specific detail that he rose up early in the morning. And saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. So he gets up and he starts chopping wood. You know, he's getting done what needs to be done. We know the story here. He's going to offer Isaac upon the altar, you know, but he's what? He's doing the work of God. He's getting up. He's saddling an ass. He's chopping wood. He's getting things together. Look, you need to get up, learn to get up early in the morning to get to work. You know, this would be something that would probably apply to younger people. You know, a lot of times younger people, they just want to sleep in. How do you know? Because I was your age once. I know what it's like to want to just sleep in till 9, 10, yay, even 11 o'clock. And just sleep all day, right? Now, obviously, at different seasons in your life, you need more sleep. We'll talk about how to accomplish that here in a minute. But, you know, you need to learn to get up early in the morning because that's when people go to work. You ever notice that, you know, between the hours of like 7 and 9, it's hard to get places in traffic because everyone's going to work. You know, and they didn't wake up in the car. They woke up and got ready and then got in the car at 7 a.m. or whatever. They got up early. So this is something we all need to learn to do, to wake up to get some work done. Wake up to do something hard. Make your day a productive day. Wake up and get with God first thing in the morning. That's what Jacob did. He got up early and he acknowledged the Lord. Moses is another one where the Bible tells us that he got up to do the work of the Lord. If you would, go to Exodus chapter 8. Exodus chapter 8. Exodus chapter 8, the Bible reads in Exodus 24, And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord and rose up early in the morning and built an altar under the hill and 12 pillars according to the tribes of Israel. 12 tribes of Israel. Say, oh, I don't want to get up. Mom, Dad, let me sleep in. Say, no, you got to get up. I know it's Saturday. You got to, you know, I don't think really mow lawns here, right? You got to rake the rock yard. You got to go out and do this chore, do that chore. Oh, I don't want to get up. You know, Moses got up and he hewed out 12 pillars and built an altar. You know, this is what's going to make you successful in life and in the Christian life is if you're someone who learns up to get up early in the morning and get after it. And we'll see here that even the world understands this. Even they get this concept. And it's all throughout Scripture. I'm just going to scratch the surface tonight. Exodus chapter 8, where you are in verse 20. And the Lord said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh. He didn't say, go wake Pharaoh up and get him out of bed. He goes, stand before him. You know what that tells me? That Pharaoh was already up. And Pharaoh, you know, is king of Egypt, which is a picture of the world. So even Pharaoh, the king, you know, living in the lap of luxury, has enough sense. He's the type of person that understands that there's a profit in getting up early. Even the world understands this. I mean, you go up, you go Google this, you know, the benefits of getting up early. You're going to find all the motivational speakers, you know, the ex-Navy SEAL guy. It's like, you need to get up at 4:30 every single morning, you know, and weak sleeping in is for the weak. You can sleep when you're dead and all this stuff, right? It's out there. What I'm saying is that even the world understands that there's profit to getting up early. And it's nothing new under the sun. It's something that God already understood. And we see great men of God, leaders, people who are successful in their life, getting up early in the morning, not being lazy people who just lie around and just get around to things when they feel like it. If you would, go over to Joshua chapter 3, Joshua chapter number 3. Say, well, maybe you're somebody who already does get up in the morning. Maybe you're like, I don't need this sermon, I already do this. You know, I get up every single morning. You know, well, good on you. But here's the thing, I don't want you to burn out on that either. Because, you know, Moses, you know, I'm kind of making the application here. It says in Exodus 34 that he hewed 2 table of stones like unto the first. And Moses rose up early in the morning and went up Mount Sinai as the Lord had commanded him and took in his hand the 2 tables of stone. He did that twice. You know, you should get in the routine of doing the same thing. You should have a morning routine. That's going to make you a more productive person. I know that's something that I need in my life. I'm the type of person who needs a rail to run on. You know, I'm not somebody who can just kind of take it, you know, day by day, whatever, I'll just see what happens tomorrow. I kind of need to know day by day what I'm doing ahead of time. You know, and that's why on my phone I have a morning routine, on the calendar, I have a checklist, I have these things that I'm going to get up. And look, it's not different every day. Every day it's the same thing. Every day it's get up at this time, do X, Y, Z. Get up at this time, do X, Y, Z. You know, and that's what I see Moses doing. You know, he gets up again, you know, and he has to make the same 2 tables of stone. He's got to go up the same mountain. Get up early and do the same thing. Even if it's hard, that'll help you. Where I have you go, Joshua chapter 3. Joshua, another great leader, right? He's the Moses' protege, the one who followed in his footsteps. Verse 1, one of the first things we learn about Joshua is that verse 1, and Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And you know what? I'm not going to belabor the point, but it comes up in Joshua chapter 6, Joshua chapter 7, Joshua chapter 8, that he rose up early in the morning. It's something he just keeps repeating about him. You know, and here's the thing, you know, it's kind of, you say, well, what's the point? Exactly, what is the point of saying that over and over again, of reminding us that Moses got up early, that Abraham got up early, that Joshua got up early? It's an unnecessary detail in the story when you think about it. I mean, does it change the narrative? Does it change anything in the plot of the scripture? Does it change anything about when we know what time they got up? It could have just as easily said, you know, Moses hewed out 2 tables of stone and went up the mountain. But it takes the time to tell us he got up early in the morning to do it. And it tells us over and over and over again that these men of God are getting up early in the morning. You know what that tells me? Is that there's value in getting up early in the morning. It's something that God wants us to see in the scripture. Because again, it's an unnecessary detail to these stories. but it's given as an attribute of exemplary leaders. This is something that, you know, great men of God did. You know, obviously, none of us is probably going to achieve the, you know, stature of a Joshua or a Moses, you know, or these other great men of God. It's just not in the cards for us. But we're given these details so that we can emulate them. You know, I want to be like Moses. I want to be like Joshua. Oh, really? Well, let's set that alarm clock. Let's get up early in the morning. Let's get with God. Let's do something hard. Let's do it over and over and over again. And we'll see how much like Joshua and Moses you really want to be. Now, if you would, you know, go over to 1 Samuel 29. 1 Samuel 29. Because here's the thing. You know, if I say get up early in the morning, that's kind of an arbitrary term, isn't it? That's relative. You know, my early might not be your early. Right? And look, I know people are on different schedules and things like that. Not everyone works the 9 to 5 and can, you know, apply this the way I'm preaching at night. But you can still get something out of it. But if I say get up early in the morning, you know, what does the Bible mean by that? Well, it's meaning that you got to get up as in early, as in before dawn. Like beat the sun up kind of early. Right? This is what he's saying here. If you look there in 1 Samuel 17, did I have to go there? No, I'm sorry. I had to go to 1 Samuel 29, didn't I? 1 Samuel 29, look at verse 9. I was going to turn you to all the passages where Samuel got up early, but I won't belabor the point. It says in verse 9, Achish answered and said to David, I know that thou art good in my sight and as an angel of God. Notwithstanding, the princes of the Philistines have said, he shall not go up with us to battle. So remember, this is when he's dwelling in with the Philistines. They're saying, David's not going to go to war with us against Israel. Okay? Verse 10, wherefore now rise up early in the morning, that thy master's servants that are come with thee, with thy servants that are come with thee, and as soon as you be up early in the morning and have light, depart. He's saying, get up early enough to where you have light. So what he's saying here is, basically, you have to get up early enough to where you have to wait for the light. You have to wait for the sun to come up, right? So he's not just saying, oh yeah, get up early before noon. You know, I get up early. You know, I get up by 10 a.m., right? That's not early, friend. You know, there's people that have accomplished more by 10 a.m. than most people will do all day. There's people that have gotten a lot done by 10 a.m. because what? They got up early, right? Because you can get a lot done, especially if you need time to just, you know, focus on something and not be distracted by everything that goes on. You know, getting up early in the morning is a great time to do that. Before the emails come in, before the text messages and the phone calls and all the distractions that come throughout the day. You know, you fit that in early, you can get a lot of good, serious, focused work in. Get up early, and early is not a relative term here. It's meaning, you know, before dawn, you know, or at dawn. I know dawn kind of fluctuates, right? But, you know, this is the kind of early we're talking about here, not 9 a.m. What about Jesus? Of course, he's another great example, right? Jesus was somebody that got up early in the morning. If you would, go to Luke 21. Luke 21. Let me remind you of some other people while you're turning there. Job was another man who got up early, right? How about the virtuous woman in Proverbs 31? She's somebody that got up early. And there's a woman that got a lot done, right? And you know, the woman, the virtuous woman is not something I think is achievable, but it's a standard that ladies ought to shoot for. It's something that they have to strive to be like and emulate, kind of like all these other leaders, okay? But it says in Proverbs 31, she riseth also while it is yet night. It doesn't mean she's, I believe it's just talking about the fact that before the sun has come up, and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. He's talking about the virtuous woman as someone who gets up early and starts making food, starts providing for her house. First thing is getting these things done. She's getting up early. She's not idle and lazy and laying around, okay? Jesus, of course, is another person who got up early in the morning. We see it many times throughout Scripture. You're in Luke 21, but in John 8, it said, and early in the morning he came again to the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. In Mark 1, and in the morning, rising up a great while before the day. A great while before the day. Not a relative term. Meaning he got up before the day break. A great while before it. He got up very early. He went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. And again, that's a great illustration of the fact that, you know, one of the best things you could do if you want to have a real walk with God is get up early and get with God. Get in that solitary place. You know, and that's harder to do in the day and age that we live in. You know, we're all living in these very close communities. We're all living in these, you know, metro areas where our neighbors are right there. You know, we got to put the shades up, or we're, you know, we can see their TV. You know, we're all right next to each other. We're all packed in like sardines. It's hard to find a solitary place, isn't it? But I'm telling you, if you got up early, you know, you would find a solitary place because it would be quiet. While a lot of other people are still in bed, you know, still quietly going about their morning, while the kids are still laying down, you know, the house is a solitary place in a sense. But that's something you can only achieve when you do what? When you get up a great while before the day. You know, it's something you're going to have to plan on doing. It's not something that's going to happen by accident. And look, I'm preaching this again because I believe it's important, because people, this is New Year's and people are setting goals. This is something that will help you with your New Year's resolutions, getting up early and getting these resolutions taken care of. We're right ahead to Luke 21. He says in verse 38, and all the people came early in the morning to him in the temple for to hear him. So it wasn't just Jesus that got up early, but it's the people that wanted to be with him. They also had to get up early and get where he was. You want to get with God? You want to get up early? You got to get up early. Get where he is. No, so these are just several examples throughout Scripture that we see of men of God, Jesus himself, the virtuous woman. There's others I could have taken the time to turn to, of people that got up early, got with the Lord, did something hard, okay? So hopefully that's enough to convince you. Hopefully we could, you know, it'd be nice if we could just close in prayer right now and that'd be enough, okay? But I don't want to just get up and hammer this and say, you need to get up early, bless God, and if you don't, you know, you're wicked or something. You know, I want to motivate you. You know, I want to give you some other reasons, inspire you to get up early, you know, if such a thing is possible, right? So let me talk a little bit about the benefits of being an early riser. Not only is it a model that we see in Scripture of great leaders, great men of God, great women of God getting up early, but it's also something that will benefit you. There are benefits, okay? One, you'll get put to work. Go over to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. You know, the guy who's lazy, who gets up late, you know, is scrambling to get to work on time. You know, He's waking up, he's got to be to work in 10 minutes. You know, he's pulling his boots on, he's running out to the car. He hasn't had time to eat or make, you know, he's just, you know, put on, he's still in yesterday's clothes or whatever. You know, that's not the guy that's going to get the promotion at work. That's not the guy that's going to keep the job when times get tough. And the guy's out looking for a job, they call your former employer. Well, one of the things they're going to ask is, What was his attendance like? Oh, you know, he was always showing up 5, 10, 15 minutes late. You know, you're less likely to get hired if you're somebody who can't get up on time, okay? You'll get put to work. Look at Matthew chapter 20, verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers and do his vineyard. Right now, you could make the argument from that parable, if you know it, that he went back at every hour after that and hired guys throughout the day. Right, but those were other guys, okay? You want to be these guys, right, that show up, and you want to be those guys that get hired first, right? Well, you know what? What is the employer looking for people? He wants people that can get to work early, okay? The Bible says in Proverbs 26, actually, you know what? Go to Proverbs 26. Go to Proverbs. We're going to look at a few of the Proverbs here. That, you know, sleeping in is something that lazy people do. It's something that lazy people do. Now look, I'm not saying if every once in a while, you know, you have a day off, you're on your vacation, you were up super late the other night, you know, there's these rare occasions that you have to, you know, you have to sleep in. I'm not calling you lazy. But I am saying this, if, you know, you're just sleeping every morning, not getting up, not getting after it, you know, you're lazy. I don't know what else to tell you. That's something that lazy people do. It says in Proverbs 26, look at verse 14. As the door turneth upon its hinges, so doth the slothful upon its bed. You know, I can think of times in my life where I've emulated that proverb right there. As a young person, you know, as a teenager, being somebody who just turns upon its bed like a door upon its hinges. What's it talking about here? He's got, again, you know, like this morning, you got to think about these proverbs, the picture that it's painting here. Think about how a door just turns on its hinges. What does it do? It just goes back and forth, right? You know, when you're a person who doesn't get up early, you know, that's what you end up doing. Did you ever notice if, you know, after you kind of you wake up kind of early in the morning and you kind of have that moment of decision, right? Where it's like, I either have to get up or I'm going to lay here for another hour or two, right? Or three. But did you ever notice if you decide to lay there, it's not the best sleep? The light's coming through the window. You can hear noise of all of the other people that aren't like you have gotten up. You can hear the neighbor's car starting. You know, whatever, everything else that's going on around you. It's not the best sleep. What do? You just end up tossing and turning, right? Because when you get good, deep sleep, you know, I want to preach a whole other sermon just on sleep eventually, but when you're sleeping deeply, you don't move. You go into like a paralysis, like deep REM sleep, rapid eye movement sleep. You basically, I mean, that's how I test the kids when they sleep in bed with us, when they're nursing still. You know, if you want to get out of bed without waking them up, you lift up their little arm and drop it. If it just goes, and they go like this, and then, like that's how you know they're out. But if you lift it up and they go, they're awake. They're not deep asleep, right? And then you have to like do the ninja move out of the bed. You gotta like crawl out, right? Roll across the floor without making any noise. But that's what I'm saying. If you're someone who's just laying in bed, not getting up, well, I need another hour or two. That hour or two is only going to make you more tired. We'll see that here in a minute. It's going to cast you into even deeper sleep. It's going to make you more of a sluggard. You're just going to toss to and fro on your bed. You know, what's the point? Just get up. Don't be a slothful person who turns back and forth on their bed. Get up. Go to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. Look, people who just want to sleep in, they don't get everything done that they should get done. I mean, they might be able to go out and earn a living. They might be able to go out and bring home the bacon, you know, and pay their bills. But you could still end up being a spiritual sluggard. You could still end up being spiritually poor if you don't get up early. It says in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 6, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? And when wilt thou rise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. I'm saying, look, if you're going to be the person who just sleeps in, doesn't get up, you know what? You're going to end up poor. Because you're not going to be able to hold down a job. You're not going to get the promotion. You're not going to get hired. Now, look, some people can still be, you know, get up, get this done, you know, and go out and make a living. But what about this? Apply this spiritually. If we're not getting up and getting in our Bibles, we're not getting up and, you know, reading and praying and meditating on the Word of God, and I'm not saying you have to get up and spend 3 hours reading the Bible, but if you can't even get your lazy carcass out of bed to read for 15 minutes before you start your day, you know what? Your spiritual want is going to come as an armed man. There's going to come a day when someone's going to say, I need an answer out of the Word of God. You're going to go, I don't know what the Bible says about that. Something's going to happen in your life, and you're not going to know how to handle it because you're spiritually poor, because you've been lazy spiritually. You've been a spiritual sluggard by just, you know, sleeping in, not getting up, not making it a priority, okay? The Bible says, go to Proverbs chapter 20, Proverbs chapter 20. It says in Proverbs 19, verse 15, slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep. Now, that seems counterintuitive, doesn't it? Slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep. You'd think the sloth would have more energy than anybody. He hasn't done anything. He's just laying around. They're the laziest people there are. And that's why, you know, I've heard this said several times, and I agree with it. You want to get something done, give it to somebody who's already busy, because they'll find a way to squeeze it in. The people that have nothing going on are usually the people you don't want to ask to do anything. because slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep. They won't get it done. An idle soul shall suffer hunger. You know, apply that spiritually. Bible says in Proverbs 20, verse 13, love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Do you see how important that getting up early is? Yeah. Do you see how important it is to not be a sluggard, to not love sleep, not to be slothful, not to turn on your bed, but to actually get up and get to work and get something done? Yeah. Lest thou come to poverty. Open thine eyes, and thou shalt be satisfied with bread. So these are some of the benefits of getting up early. It's going to keep you out of the poorhouse, physically and spiritually. You know, it's going to put bread on the table, okay? There's going to be less distractions. You're going to be able to get more done early in the morning, better quality work. It's going to help you accomplish important tasks. Now, here's the one no one wants to hear about. It's going to help you with better health. Okay, better health. Because think about it. If you got up early in the morning and you had time to go for a 20 to 30 minute walk, that's going to help your health, isn't it? Yep. I mean, 20 to 30 minutes walking every day, I mean, you're going to be healthier than the guy that never walks, right? Mm-hmm. And look, if you've ever tracked your steps, you know what I'm talking about. And I know that when I'm going through times where I look at my track counter, I go, ooh, my pedometer or whatever, I'm like, man, I'm feeling it. I'm like, I got to do something about that, right? When you get done and it reads 600 steps for the day. That's not very many steps, folks. You got up, you went to the fridge a couple times. You used the bathroom. And look, if you have an office job, you know, if you're somebody who sits all day, this is a real problem. You know, I remember when I worked at the city up in Phoenix at the convention center, there was a big push for people. They would give you a little pedometer to put on your foot, and they had competitions who could ever get X amount of steps, you know. Because look, if you're just sitting all day, 8 hours go by, it's easy to get 600 steps in, and that's it. And the days where I've shot for 7 to 10,000 steps, like, you find yourself like, man, I want to hit that goal. You go for that extra walk. You know, you go for a 20-minute walk. You go for a 30-minute walk. Well, when can you do that? When you get up early, you know? And here's the thing. We live in a real busy world, right? We live where we have a lot of demands on our time. Here's something that's going to help you is to multitask. I mean, think about it. If you could get up early, go for the walk, and listen to your Bible. I mean, now you're getting up early, you're developing that character, you're getting in that good habit, you're out walking early in the morning, you're getting that fresh air, you're breaking a sweat, you're getting some exercise in, and you're spiritually growing because you're listening to the Word of God, right? So you can do all these things. It's going to help you walk, you can get up early, you can exercise if that's your thing, and then what about this? How about you can get a better breakfast in? These are just practical things. You know, I could just get up and just tell you the Bible says so, and it has all these examples, and leave it at that. But, you know, let me, you know, bring it home a little bit for you, okay? You get up early, you know, you could actually make a nutritious breakfast. You could have the oatmeal with the raw honey, the local raw honey, right? I got a honey guy. I could hook you up. Right here at the Ace. Right, brother? Right? I'm telling you, true love honey. It's grown. It's right up, made up right here in Marana. It's great. It's like $12 a pint or whatever. It's a little pricey, but it'll help you with your allergies, right? Put some flaxseed in it, now you got a good breakfast. And look, if you're married, you didn't have to make it, right? You just had to get up early to eat it. But, you know, maybe you're not married, you know, maybe you got to cook for yourself. You know, getting up early and taking 20 to 30 minutes to actually scramble some organic eggs yourself and putting some good cheese on it, some peppers, and having a piece of toast and some milk or whatever and having a nutritious breakfast is going to be a whole lot better for you than just running out the door and trying to squeeze through McDonald's drive-thru every morning. Or Taco Bell. They serve breakfast now. Did you know that? I drove by there today and noticed the sign, open for breakfast. I'm like, Taco Bell is open for breakfast? I don't even know how Taco Bell even exists in Tucson, let alone be open for breakfast. But man, I mean, if you got up early, you could make a better breakfast. Look, these are the benefits of getting up early. You could benefit spiritually. You could benefit financially. You could benefit physically in your health. Say, well, you convinced me, Brother Corbin. I want to start getting up early. Well, let me talk a little bit about, at the end here, about how to get up early, okay? Because it takes a whole lot more than just, you know, being motivated. You know, it takes a lot of discipline. You have to get in the habit, especially if you're out of the habit of doing it, okay? Now, here's just go to Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. If you want to get up early, here, let me just pull the band-aid off. You have to go to bed early. You have to go to bed early if you want to get up early. And look, I know some people say, I'm a night owl. I'm not a morning person. You know, I've thought the same way, but I'm convinced that neither of those people exist. You say, I'm just genetically disposed to be a night owl. I don't believe that. I believe people just get in habits, they develop routines, and that's it. Because I've never met a morning person who's, like, actually a morning person. I mean, my wife, you know, I don't like to talk about her from the pulpit too much, you know, but she would describe herself as a morning person. At least she has. And she's, you know, generally, she's always in a good mood, right? And in the morning is no exception, but it's not like she's this bubbly, you know, butterfly just in the morning, you know? But she's up early. You know, I don't know what this morning person is. I've never met this person who's just this gregarious, just energetic, just at 5 a.m., just, hi, how you doing? Nobody's like that at that early, okay? There is no such thing as morning people, night owls. I don't buy that. And I've even heard people who've done sleep studies and, you know, clinical studies and things like that. There's too many variables to come to that conclusion in people's lives to say that we studied X amount of people for X amount of years and determined that some people should go to bed at 11 and get up at 8, and some people should go to bed at 9 and get up at whatever. I just think people get in routines, people have certain habits, certain things that they do that affect the way they sleep and their sleep patterns, okay? I'm kind of getting off track here, but, you know, that is pretty much the number one tip to getting up early, is go to bed early. Now you see why I'm preaching this tonight, okay, and not, you know, 2 days before New Year's Eve, right? That's because that's the irony of ironies right there. People make all these resolutions from the new year, say, I'm going to get up early, I'm going to read my Bible, I'm going to be super productive, and then they stay up till like midnight, 1, 2 o'clock on December 31st, and then they're waking up at 9. That's how you're starting your new year with your resolutions, by staying up super late and getting up super late. Now look, do whatever you want in here. I don't care. I'm kind of over it, to be honest, but you know, this is the practical thing. If you really want to do this, you got to go to bed early, okay? And look, what's early? 9 o'clock? Woo! That's not that early, folks. 9 is not early. If you think 9 is early, then you probably classify yourself as a night owl, right? that's not early. Because you got to get about 8 hours. Now, I find that I'm about a 7.5 to 7 hour person. I'll just naturally sleep that long. So if I go to bed about 9, I find myself getting up about 6:30, you know? Is that right? No. I get up around 4:35, somewhere in there, if I go to bed about 9, right? Do the math. I've been up late, so I can't do it. My mind's, I'm all foggy, right? But what am I getting at? To get up early, you got to go to bed early. Mm-hmm. And 9 is not early, okay? It's not. Can I get an amen or whatever? Here's another tip to get up early. How to be an early riser. Work hard during the day. Work hard. You know, I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit, but there's a chemical that your body makes that's called adenosine. And part of what it does is it helps you go to sleep. It regulates when you stay up and when you go to bed, when you feel sleepy and when you feel alert. And one of the things that produces it is when you use your brain a lot, when you're doing a lot of thinking, when you're doing a lot of activity, the adenosine levels actually go up throughout the day to actually make you more sleepy. So look, if you're not doing anything during the day, you know, if you're just laying around the house, scrolling through YouTube, watching TV, not using your brain, not thinking, not doing any kind of work, no wonder you can't fall asleep late. You're up till, you know, 12, 1, 2 o'clock in the morning because you haven't done anything during the day, okay? Look there at Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 12. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 5, 12, the sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eat little or much. What is it that puts him to sleep? It's not the high-carb meal that he had. It's not the big bowl of spaghetti. It's the fact that he was laboring that day. You know, you put in a hard day's work, you're not going to have any trouble falling asleep. Amen? Amen? I know there's some of you guys that know what I'm talking about. You work hard, and you're out there in the heat, and you're sweating, and you're walking, and you're working hard. You probably go home, and I know when I worked a much more physical job, there were days where it was just like, I went home and I was on the couch and I fell asleep for like at least an hour. My wife would have to wake me up and say it's dinner time. And then it was off to bed after that. I mean, sleep was real easy. Obviously, the job I have now, you know, on staff here, it's a lot more cerebral, right? It's less physical, right? It's still demanding, but, you know, I have to work hard to actually get that physical exertion in to be tired, okay? So that's another tip for you guys that are, you know, sitting in an office, sitting at a desk. You know, you need to get some laboring. You got to get some exercise. If you're having a hard time sleeping, you know, you need to get that walking. You need to hit the gym. You need to do something physical to help, you know, yourself fall asleep. But again, I spoke earlier. Go to Psalms 127. Mentioned a minute ago that, you know, the real key is to go to bed early. Go to bed early. And it's the craziest thing. Like, what's so bad about going to bed? Now the children in the room, could probably tell you. Right? All the kids, it's like you have to have these hostage negotiations with them to go to bed. It's like you have to convince them to stay in there, right? You have to bargain with them. Or, you know, there's other means to deal with it too. But, you know, we scratch our heads. I would love for somebody to come to me at 7, 8 o'clock and say, you need to go to bed. Stop what you're doing right now and go to bed. Go take a nap. You know, I wish someone would come to me at 2 or 3 in the afternoon and say, you're going to take a nap right now. If I have to. I mean, what's so bad about going to bed? Sleep is great, right? Look at it, Psalms 127, verse 1. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. And you say, aha, I got you, Brother Corbin. It says right there, it's vain to rise up early. See that? No, it says it's vain to rise up early and to sit up late and to eat the bread of sorrows. It's vain to do all three of these things. To just sit there and afflict yourself, right? Because ultimately, you know, it's of the Lord whether or not we're kept safe. You know, it's up to God. And God's not this cruel taskmaster. He'll protect us, you know, right? He'll protect us, you know, the watchman waketh but in vain. You know, God ultimately is in control. So there's no point in us rising up early, staying up late, because it's all in God's hand and God's not cruel. The Bible says that he giveth his beloved sleep. You know, sleep is something that God gives to us. And when you think about it, I was listening to somebody talk about this today, and I'll share it with you just because I think it's a funny anecdote. Sleep is one of the just most underrated things. It's the most misunderstood thing. It's one of those things that we just take for granted, sleeping. And yet, sleep is probably one of the most important things for our health. I mean, it's right up there with nutrition and exercise, is getting a full night's rest. But we live in a society, you know, with the advent of caffeine and indoor lighting, you know, and everything else to keep us distracted, where sleep is something that we do it because we have to, right? But sleep is such a powerful thing. I mean, think about this. What if you had, this is the analogy I heard, I love it. What if you had a child, right, and you were at the hospital, and the doctor came to you and said, hey, the child is perfectly healthy, they're fine, there's nothing wrong with them. However, you know, every day at a certain time, they're just going to go into a coma. For about 8 hours, they're going to be completely unresponsive. They're not going to communicate. Their eyes are going to be closed. They're going to go completely limp. Wouldn't you be a little startled by that? That's what we all do. You'd say, no, doctor, what's wrong with them? Well, we all do that. I mean, think about it. We all just go to sleep. That's the exact same thing that happens to us. We just kind of forget about that whole thing, that whole part of our life where we just slip into this coma. And it's like, oh, that's just something that happens. So there's a lot going on physiologically that we need to benefit from sleep. It's something that God gives us. You know, God gives his beloved sleep. It's not something that we should be concerned about. Now, go back to where you were in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'm just trying to give you some benefits about sleeping, about getting up early, right? Being an early riser. We saw the fact that all the great men of God in the Scripture did it. That people that got up early got things done. They had a purpose behind what they did when they got up early. They got alone with the Lord. We saw that not getting up early, being somebody who just wants to sleep in late and not be an early riser, is something that lazy people do. Okay? So now we need to talk about the benefits. We're talking about how to accomplish that, right? You know, working hard, go to bed early. And here's the one you're really not going to like. Quit or limit caffeine. Yes, I'm going to preach it. All right? Quit or limit your caffeine intake. Now, notice what I gave you two options there. Coffee drinkers, you addicts, you dependents. I'm one of you. I've been on a binge, man. After my 90 days, I've just been like, bring it on. I'm fixing to get back on the wagon, the no caffeine wagon. Because I'll talk a little bit about my experience. I don't want to get all preachy about it, although I am preaching. But But I gave you two options. It was quit, or at the very least, limit your caffeine. At least limit your caffeine. Because caffeine is it's the second highest sold commodity behind oil. There's a lot of money and billions of dollars in coffee and caffeine. And caffeine is a powerful psychoactive drug. It affects your brain in powerful ways. Now, is it the most, you know, people, and I've heard people go to extremes and say, oh no, Christians shouldn't drink coffee because it's a drug. Look, I'm not gonna say that. You know, it doesn't make you less sober. It doesn't make you, you know, you say I'm a coffee addict. Yeah, but it's not like you're hooked on heroin. It's not like you're a cokehead or something like that. It's not meth, it's not crack. Look, if I can give it up, anybody can give it up. I mean, it doesn't take a whole lot of willpower to take a break from caffeine. Yeah, you gotta go through some withdrawals, but you can't equate that with somebody trying to get off heroin, okay? It's not anything like that, okay? So that's why I don't think caffeine is like the worst thing in the world, or it's sinful to take it, okay? Actually, caffeine has a lot of benefits, too. There's a lot of things that are good, and I don't want to go on and on about it. But this will help you if you want to get a good night's rest and get up early to start, at the very least, limiting your caffeine intake. You know, and I've challenged people with this, and they've taken me up on it, and they've come back to me and said, you're right. And it was people who said, oh, caffeine doesn't affect me. I can drink a whole pot before bed, and it won't keep me up. And I'm thinking, not so. Right? But then I would challenge them and say, well, why don't you just limit your caffeine intake to one cup a day and nothing after 12 o'clock or nothing after 9 o'clock in the morning? And people that did that would come back and say, man, I fell asleep so much easier. I slept so much more deeply. I slept through the whole night. I didn't get up. It really affects you because caffeine has a half-life in your system. So if you drink like 240 milligrams of caffeine, which is what's in a typical cup of coffee, I believe, you know, around there, that's kind of on the high end. You know, if you drink that, you know, and then from 5 to 7 hours later, that half of that caffeine is still in your system. So if you drink a cup of coffee at 2 in the afternoon, you know, you're feeling groggy in the afternoon, and you slam 240 milligrams of caffeine to perk yourself back up, you know, anywhere from 7 to 9 o'clock when people are supposed to, you know, are winding down for the night, you still have, you know, 120 milligrams of caffeine coursing through your veins. You know, and then 5 to 7 hours later, you know, when it's like deep into the night, 2, 3 o'clock at night, you still have 70 milligrams, which is obviously quite a bit less. But then you wake up in the morning, you know, and your body's just gotten the caffeine from 2 in the afternoon off out of its system, and you're ready for your morning cup. And start all again. That's how that cycle starts, right? And people get caught in dependency on caffeine. And look, you'll never know, and I've heard this said, and I took this challenge, and I found it to be true, you'll never know how addicted to caffeine you really are until you try to quit it for 90 days. It'll blow your mind that first week, how much better your sleep, not just the withdrawals, but how much sleep you are missing out on. Good quality sleep, too. So this, you know, this is not something, this is my opinion, this is just something I'm throwing out there. This isn't, you're in sin if you drink caffeine past noon or whatever. But if you're trying to get up early, you're trying to get a good night's rest, I would challenge you to quit, or at the very least, limit your caffeine intake. Cut it down. And if you are going to go, if you're going to quit, don't go cold turkey. That is some misery right there. That's what I did, and it was like, I was floored for like 2 or 3 days. And it was not fun. Let me just remind you about some things about caffeine, all right? Let me just get it off my chest, all right? I know I've already been preaching to some of you outside the pulpit about this, but caffeine is considered an andosine blocker, okay? Andendosine, excuse me. It comes into play by similarly attaching itself to the same receptors that adenosine would normally latch onto. So in your brain, okay, in your brain cells, or you know, neurologically, there's these receptors that this chemical that your body produces naturally, adenosine, latches onto. And I talked about earlier, adenosine is what regulates your sleep. So as you're working throughout the day, your adenosine levels go up, and they begin to latch onto these receptors in your brain, so that by the end of the day, you feel tired and you go to sleep, okay? Melatonin is different. That's something that's secreted while you're asleep, okay? Adenosine is what puts you to sleep and also wakes you up, because throughout the night that, you know, the adenosine that's built up throughout the day, the only way to get rid of it is to go to sleep. it will be in your system. There's no way to get rid of it. It has to attach to those receptors and go through your system. So as you sleep and those endedocine receptors have attached, then throughout the night they dissipate, they dip back down, and you become more alert and you wake up. So that's the role that adenosine plays in your system. You're getting a little bit of a biology lesson tonight. You didn't know you were going to get that, did you? Well, caffeine is so similar, is a similar, you know, compound as adenosine, that it latches on to those same receptors. So when you drink caffeine in the form of coffee or soda or whatever, you know, what's actually going on is it's not just that the drug is perking you up, it's blocking adenosine is what's happening. It's preventing from those, you know, sleep hormones from attaching and putting you to sleep. That's the perk. Okay, that's the what's, you know, keeping you awake. But here's the thing, has that adenosine gone anywhere? It's still there. It's just building up and building up and building up. That's why eventually it doesn't matter how much caffeine you take, you're going to sleep. You know, and I remember when I first moved out here and I was working two jobs, I was working 70 hours a week as an apprentice locksmith and then going immediately at 5 o'clock in the afternoon and working until 1 or 2 o'clock at night delivering pizza. I was just like going crazy and trying to keep myself awake on the road by just slamming, you know, energy drinks. And I remember one night I got the Java Monsters. Who knows what I'm talking about? They're just like basically a milkshake. You know, there's no carbonation, so you can just guzzle the whole can. I don't recommend it, but I was really tired. I was burned out, and I slammed two of those things, and I went home after the end of my shift. I slammed it like 10, 11 o'clock at night to get to my shift. I was at home at 2 o'clock, and I fell right asleep after drinking two Monster energy drinks, because then that's when I realized, like, sometimes the only thing that's going to recharge your batteries is sleep, because adenosine has to process through your system. Sleep is not optional. Sleep is not one of those things we can just get around to when we feel like it. It has to happen. So if you want to get better sleep, if you want to get up early and get something done for God, limit your caffeine intake. Limit this drug that is blocking adenosine in your system. And you will fall asleep at 8, 9, 10 o'clock. You will be an early riser. So you could, you know, I don't want to go on and on about caffeine, but, you know, I think I've made a case enough right there. It's something that has, we don't really think about. And look, I love coffee. I mean, I love the smell of it. I love drinking it. I love everything about it, okay? There's nothing about it I don't like. And look, if it means, hey, I'm just going to drink one cup in the morning, great. I think you could still get a great night's rest on one cup of coffee. You know, if you drink it early enough in the day. But, you know, that's just something I thought I'd throw out there because, you know, I want to make it more practical. Because some people are going to say, hey, you know what? I want to be an early riser. I want to do these things, but they're not going to think about these basic tips about going to bed early, about making sure you're getting exercise or work throughout the day, that you're not blocking your body's own natural hormones from putting you to sleep through the use of caffeine. My last tip is this, and I'll close. Be consistent. Be consistent. Keep a regular sleep schedule. When I started doing that, and you just train your body to just get up and go to bed at a certain time, you won't even need an alarm clock anymore. You'll just wake up, and your body will just know it's time to wake up, had enough sleep. And the last thing I'll say is this, don't say, well, I'll catch up on my sleep on the weekend. It doesn't work. I'll just sleep in on the weekend and catch up for my sleep. That's not a consistent schedule. The best way to be an early riser is to get up the same time every single day. And that's the truth. But I don't want to go on. I'm taking up too much of your time. You guys got to get home and get to bed. So let's go ahead and pray.